From the City of Angels near the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, the prophecies of John Hoag. Here's what's happening. In Baltimore, 10 people arrested so far tonight in Baltimore following looting, burning buildings, and riots throughout the night and this morning. The streets were largely calm this evening. Results of Monday night's looting, by the way, everywhere. Burned out cars and buildings, looted stores, lives of innocents who lost everything in the violence that led to a reported 235 arrests and left 20 police officers injured. In Missouri, a man was shot in the lower leg in Ferguson as a group of about 50 protesters there tonight. Police monitoring the protest quickly took that person into custody, recovered a gun there. Dr. Peter Breggin, of course, is our resident psychiatrist. I thought it'd be time that we brought Peter in to talk with him about the mindset of people who riot and loot. Peter, what are they trying to prove here? And I'm not talking about protesting whether you agree with what the police did or did not do, but what about the looters and the rioters?
I think we have to go back and look at what's happened to children and family life in the inner cities, George. Back, I was in D.C. in the late 60s when the riots took place there, and I began talking with members of the black community. And one of the things I heard as early as, I would say, 1968, was we have a lost generation of children. We are losing our children to broken families, to drugs, to gangs. In 1994, George, my wife and I wrote a book called The War Against Children of Color, in which we emphasized what was happening to these children in terms of the violence that surrounded them, the broken families, the drugs, and the racism and that people talk about a great deal now. But as we've watched more and more, it's getting clearer and clearer that the biggest enemy right now of the growth and development of black children is this idea that everything is about grievances against other people, mm-hmm. grievances against the whites, grievances against the government, entitlements from the government. If I wanted to destroy somebody, I'd make them feel that their life was a grievance. And this has now become so endemic. Generation after generation after generation is growing up without suitable family life, amid huge violence. Black-on-black violence is huge compared to white-on-white violence or interracial violence. So we have these generations now, because, I mean, back then, people I knew who were African-American, the leaders in the community were saying we have a lost generation, mm-hmm. but we're generations later now, and we just have a lot of young and older, but looking at the people who riot, children, youth, and young adults who have very little hope, very little education. They literally are more likely to go to jail than to go to college. They're more likely to be one of the greatest sources of death in young black people is black-on-black violence.
Well, and it doesn't paint a picture for the future then, Peter, at all, does it? It's scary. There was a video that went viral today of a African-American mother slapping the heck out of her son who was involved or close by the demonstrations and the riots. And she was just mortified that he was there, and she chased him all over the place, whapping him all over. Good for you, Mom. Well, listen to this now. A guy named Jose Molina in the Los Angeles area was performing a maintenance on a 35-foot-long oven at the Bumblebee Foods Tuna Company. He was cleaning it out. Well, one of his coworkers didn't know he was in that 35-foot oven, tossed in 12,000 pounds of canned tuna, turned on the oven pressure cooker, cooked him to death. Unbelievable. Folk music legend Joni Mitchell is in a coma and unresponsive for 4 weeks after she was admitted to the hospital. Mitchell, whose real name is Roberta Joan Anderson, is known for hits including Big Yellow Taxi and The Circle Game, as well as her role in the 60s music scene. Jack Eli, the singer known for Louie Louie, the low-budget recording that became one of the most famous songs of the 20th century, has died at his home in Redmond, Oregon, after a long battle with an illness. He was 71 years old. Home ownership. The rate in the first quarter of this year fell almost 64%, the lowest since 1990. And what about Twitter? Drops 18%. The founders of Twitter today lost $750 million. Ouch. Let's check in with investment advisor Catherine Austin Fitz. Not a day for housing and not a day for Twitter, Catherine. Jeez.
As some people would say, that the U.S. equity market looks a bit toppy.
It sure does.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, that, you know, George, you have, it's called a high beta stock. You have stocks that are trading at very high PEs, and there's a lot of momentum, and they can be very volatile, and you know, both up and down.
Their earnings were leaked out today, I guess, before they're supposed to, and people just caught wind of it and ran away from it.
Well, here's the, you know, with the dollar this strong, earnings are soft, and people are nervous about it. One of the big 3D printers lowered earnings expectations and dropped 20% in the aftermarket as soon as the market heard it. But tomorrow is a big announcement day. The Bureau of Economic Analysis comes out with the
those indicators,
GDP, and then tomorrow we have the Fed Open Market Committee. So tomorrow's a big day, and if they say growth is disappointing, you could see the market be hurt.
Housing ownership down 64% the first quarter. That's crazy.
Well, if you look at what the administration is up to, you know, we're coming into an election. And if you look at all the terms and conditions for Freddie, Fannie, FHA, and the veterans, the administration is clearly planning on infusing a lot of credit into housing. So, but if you look at the housing market, George, it's very spotty. It depends on where you are. Some places very strong, other places very weak. So there's a lot of divergence on the housing side. But expect the administration to really try and promote housing and, you know, part of that is going to make for strong rental markets, too.
Track Catherine at her website, Solari, SOLARI.com. Look, so much is going on, I thought we'd bring in Paul Gersio from the Merlin Project. Paul will be next with me on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, Paul Gersio with us this hour. Paul, of course, is a nationally respected futurist, longtime student of traditional and esoteric predictive systems. He is part of the Project Merlin Group, and of course, he has time tracks. And Paul, I could not think of a better time to get you in quickly to talk about what the heck is going on this planet.
It's certainly been an interesting couple of months, George. We were on last in early March, and let me first mention just quickly to your listeners, we were swamped with phone calls and messages, probably over 1,000. And normally it takes us 6 to 8 weeks to get back to everybody. It's going to take a little longer than that this time.
Yes, sir.
So, I mean, even in terms of listener response, we don't see that kind of a response very often. So I just wanted to make mention to that. So people who are waiting for a response or material,
you'll get to them.
Please give us a little patience here. I'll tell you, between picking the correct winners in the Super Bowl and telling you that Ebola was going to turn into a yawn, and Mitt Romney coming in and then leaving the presidential race, it's been an extremely interesting couple of months. Earlier today, I finally got around to doing a Bernie Sanders time track. Yeah, and I didn't bother doing it for sort of obvious reasons, because it's Bernie Sanders. I finally decided, well, I guess I better do Bernie Sanders' run. Well, you know that in the last 10 years, each time that Hillary Clinton has been the anointed one to become president next time around, we've basically said, nah, not going to happen. First time we did that on your show was in 2006, 2 years before the election in which she was supposed to become president.
Yeah, and everybody thought she was going to get that
nomination. Everybody thought that. In fact, we could have made serious money, you know, out in Las Vegas with the odds that we were given at the time. It was 90-1 odds that she was going to become the candidate and then the president. Well, of course, we know what happened.
Yeah.
We started telling your listeners probably as long ago as a year that she was not going to be the candidate or not going to be the president in 2016 either, and she was even higher rated in terms of likelihood of that happening until the last couple of weeks or months. And that, when you take a look at some of the news stories that have surfaced in terms of her own problems as Secretary of State, the problems they're encountering with monies coming into the Clinton Global Initiative, and now with Bernie Sanders actually announcing for president, I'm telling you, those debates are going to be interesting, because Bernie has nothing to lose, and he is a student of what's been going on the last 25 years.
Well, he's a senator from Vermont. He's an independent, isn't he?
He is an independent, and he's been elected a number of times as an independent. In this go around, obviously he's going to ally himself with the Democrats to run. But what's really interesting about it is that when you run Bernie Sanders' time track, now I don't know whether you've actually loaded that on your smartphone yet, but if you haven't, there's a bunch of your listeners who certainly have, and if they go out and they take a look at September 8th, 1941, that's Bernie's birthday, about 6 o'clock in the morning, and they take a look at that time track, boy, I'm telling you, he is going to give Hillary Clinton a run for her money.
You really think so? Why? The guy's 73.
Well, I'll tell you what I think now that I've had a chance to look at this, because, of course, we have a list that we've been publishing since January of all of the people who aren't going to be president. And practically everybody in the GOP is on that list. Mitt Romney was the first one to join and then drop out. But, you know, Bush 3... Jeb Bush is on the list, and everybody from Bobby Jindal to Ted Cruz,
they're all in there.
They're all on the list. Okay, in fact, I cannot tell you of a presidential candidate who is being talked about who isn't on the list, with the possible exception of Rand Paul. Now, we had Rand Paul running as a third-party candidate in 2016 mm-hmm. because he couldn't get any traction running as a Republican, since he's so far away from being a centrist that there doesn't seem to be any chance that he could possibly get the GOP nomination. But if Bernie Sanders starts running hot and heavy as a Democrat, we might very well see a contest involving Bernie Sanders and Rand Paul, two of the most opposite people politically you could imagine. And it would probably be good for the country to have those kind of extremes going on. I'm not sure either one of them would be my favorite choice for president, but from the time tracks, if you look at Rand Paul's time track and you look at Bernie Sanders' time track, you have to scratch your head, because these people are going to turn out to be serious.
Now, you're not making a prediction yet here, are you?
No, okay. No, not making an end prediction at this point, because Sanders was not on my,
He wasn't on anybody's radar.
Right, he was not on my serious list, you know. But now, with him announcing on Thursday, and he's a serious guy, even though he holds positions that are sort of way off the center line in a lot of ways, you know, it's just barely possible that the body politic out there and the voters are really ready for a serious change, and nobody else in that GOP list would offer that. So maybe, just maybe, we might see a contest between those two. It would certainly be interesting, and not only that, it would be another case of proving out how right these time tracks turn out to be, because right now it would be Marco Rubio or Jeb Bush versus Hillary Clinton. And yet, in terms of the time tracks, it doesn't look like a chance that any of those three would end up as the anointed candidate for their party.
It's going to be interesting, fascinating, and I think shocking, Paul, when we get some of these results. I wanted to ask you about a couple things, and we're going to take calls in about 10 minutes here. But the situation that's unfolding in Baltimore, the situation that has unfolded in Ferguson, Missouri, I think is going to fester throughout the summer in the United States. Have you been able to time track that?
Not really. The original dates involved are sort of blurry, and when you've got dates that are blurry, it becomes difficult to come up with a final determination. I actually heard a joke the other day that the Baltimore situation is going to be a tease for the rerun of The Wire, which is, and for those people who have never seen it, a very realistic look at crime in Baltimore.
Yeah, exactly.
You really have that feeling that if they do take upon themselves to rerun that series, which is being seriously discussed, this would be a prelude to that and probably produce better viewership than they would ever have gotten otherwise. But in terms of whether those are going to turn out to be long-term problems, I think we're in a period of time, and I was listening to your guest at the top of the program talking about the problems of what's gone on in the Afro-American community, yeah, with lack of fathers and lack of family structure and so on. That's not a new problem. It's just a bigger problem. And today, wherein we have this 24/7 news cycle, which was not present at the time of some of the earlier riots that were being mentioned in L.A. and D.C. and so on, now you have all of these news organizations with time to fill. In fact, I noticed that you mentioned the Joni Mitchell thing. That must have come from TMZ, because it's now being reported that it's just not true. She's not in a coma. She's alert. Doctors are saying that they expect her to recover from this, but you'd never know it to take a look at the TMZ report.
It's all over the place, all over.
Yes, exactly, except it's not true, apparently.
But she's very sick.
Well, she's very... It may be this strange skin thing that she's had for years, demonstrating itself. I don't know, because I don't know enough about what the condition is that got her in the hospital in the first place. Apparently, it's not nearly as serious as it's been made out to be. I think I'll be surprised, knowing what her birthday is. It's in November. I believe it's 1945, but I'd have to double-check that. But she is a November birthday. And those are not people who are getting, extraordinarily busy cycles at the moment. So you don't find a lot of November birthdays prominent in the news right now, because you get to be prominent in the news when your birthday falls in the right time cycle.
Yes, born in February 1925.
Oh, it's in February, not November?
Yeah, February 12th.
Well, is it like early February, early middle February?
February 12th.
Okay, well, February 12th and November 12th and May 12th and August 12th are all getting very similar cycles, and consequently that would also apply. And by the way, it would also apply to Bill Clinton, who would have to be getting some major cycles in the upcoming period if his wife is going to become president of the United States.
What do we call him if she gets elected? Stay with us, Paul. We're going to come back. We'll take some phone calls, and we'll talk about the Middle East as well. Okay, welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Paul Gersio with us this hour. He's got a few websites, which we've got linked up at coasttocoastam.com, projectmerlin.com, timetrackswithak.org. We'll get to your calls in a second. Paul, I want to ask you about the Middle East, but before we do, will you tell folks how they can download your app?
Absolutely. It's less than the cost of a cup of coffee for a week to try this app. You go to the app icon on your phone or tablet. Now, that's not the iTunes store. It's not Google Play. There is an icon on your phone that says something about acquiring apps. On the Apple smartphones, it's called the App Store. On the Androids, it's called Google Play. It is your way of getting to the place where all of these apps reside, and you simply tap on that icon. It will take you to the app, to your App Store, and then you search for the word Time Tracks, T-I-M-E-T-R-A-K-S, no C, but with an S, Time Tracks, T-I-M-E-T-R-A-K-S. And it will say, if you get the right one, because there's all kinds of variations on that name, if you get the right one, it will say, by George Hart and Merlin. Okay, so you'll know that you've got the right one.
Good.
You download the app, and you've got a week to try it out to see, and you'll find it's extraordinary. You can look up your own birthday. You can look up your wedding date. You can look up that woman that you hooked up with and having an affair and nobody knows, yes, okay? And you want to find out if that's in danger of being discovered, the time track will tell you where the large transitions are going to be. It won't tell you what the outcome is going to be, but it'll tell you when to watch out for that circumstance to change in a dramatic way. And you can look up any birthday in the past and future within the last, I think we have it set up to go back to 1900 and forward to 2100 or thereabouts. And you can look up any date. It will give you the short-term look, which is what's going to happen this year and next year and the following year. Or you can go all the way back to the very beginning, so back to your birth year, for instance, and look to see if the time track matches the years and periods of time in your life when all of the big changes happen. You will discover that at least 7 or 8 out of 10 major changes in your life match the times in the time track where the biggest changes are indicated. And even George, who's been looking at these, that is George Norrie, has been looking at these now for, what have we been doing this?
Well, Mike, you've taught me. You've taught me. 14
years.
You've made a monster.
You have gotten to the point where you can look at one of these and tell me how to read it, okay? And I think that's pretty extraordinary because people ask me all the time, well, how do I learn how to read this? And my answer is, listen to Coast to Coast. George Norrie has figured out how to read it, and we only talk a couple of times a year. So if he can read it and get the right information, you can teach yourself to read it too. And it is, I think, one of the most extraordinary pieces of software I have ever encountered. And Dr. Hart and I pinch ourselves regularly that this is now available, because when we first put it together a little over 25 years ago, we never in our wildest dreams expected to be able to have people, you know, just listeners with no experience with this kind of thing, be able to have the future, hold the future in the palm of their hand, and be able to see where all of the transitions are going to come along in a given situation.
The technology is amazing. Let's take a few
calls.
It really
is. And all you need is the starting date, what we call a genesis date. So start of a corporation, start of a new job, start of a new relationship, your birthday, your kids' birthdays, your wedding date. Any of those, which or the date you purchased a house, and closed on it. If there's going to be a change in that situation, you're going to spot it on these time tracks.
Well, with Paul Gercio, let's go to Chico in Oklahoma City. Chico, take it away.
Yes, thank you so much for having me on the program.
Sure thing.
I just, once again, just want to tip my hat to you. Love what you do with the format of the program. And, Paul, my question for you, I'll be brief. Big fight this weekend, Manny Pacquiao.
Manny Pacquiao, yes. You know what? I have not done the birthdays.
Ah, Paul.
And I'm sorry that I didn't. I've been actually paying attention to the fact that this was coming along. But one of the things that I do is do the forecast for the Triple Crown races, and I've been working on that, and I believe that the fight is Saturday night, and the Kentucky Derby is Saturday afternoon, early evening. So I've been paying attention to that. Completely forgot to run the fight itself. But I'll tell you, if you're on Facebook or you're on Twitter, I will post what it looks like before Saturday. So
that'll be good.
We're on Twitter, we're on Facebook as the Merlin Project Research Group. That's the way you look us up. So follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook. I'll make sure and post that.
We go next to Patrick in the state of Washington. Welcome to the program, Patrick. Go ahead.
Hey, Paul.
Yes.
Today I was listening to a sports talk show in Baltimore.
Yes.
And at the end of the show, a guy comes on and says, what happened to the Freddie Gray?
Right.
What happened to him? And it wasn't racial because he's white. He was picked up for DWI, and they put him in the back of the van, handcuffed his hands behind his back, and then drove around real fast.
Snapped it.
And made him look like a pinball in the back of that van.
Huh. Yeah, something happened to him back there. There's no doubt. Something tragic.
And probably not intentionally either.
I would, you know what, you don't know, Paul, but I wouldn't think so. I mean, the way they put him into the van, he looked like he was in pain going in.
You bet. They dragged him. His feet weren't moving. His legs weren't moving. And I got the impression he was in medical trouble before he ever got in the van.
Before we go back to some more calls, the Middle East, have you been able to look at Israel and Iran? Anything going on there?
What I keep seeing is a lowered tension rather than an escalating one. And I've seen that. I've gone back to when the Ayatollah took over back in February of 79. I've looked at all of the transition dates along the way. I've run the State of Israel, which is in May of 1948, May 14th, I believe it is. And it looks like a lowered level of extremes going on in the Middle East, at least with respect to Iran and Israel. Other things, it's such a confusing situation there. It's hard to figure because you have no stable governments at this point, basically, except maybe Jordan. The rest of the area looks very unstable for the entire period that we've got coming up. But I don't see an exaggerated level of problems going on between Israel and Iran, with the exception of Bibi Netanyahu. I mean, he's created his own problem. But other than that, I don't see any extremes going on there.
Listen,
I just want to drop this in because I looked it up and I pride myself on having a very good memory for dates and things.
Yes, you do.
Joni Mitchell is November 7th. 1943.
That can't be. That can't be. They clearly have her down as February 1925.
Double check it because that's what I have, and I checked a couple of different sources to see, and they all say November 7th, 43.
That's bizarre.
So, but what I said, however, still applies. What astrology used to call fixed signs. February and May and August and October, November, the early part of those seasons are not highly active right now. So people born at those times of the year, early November, early February, early May, and early August are not getting major cycles. And what's interesting about that is that if you take a look at the people born at those periods of time, you won't find major events going on around them by and large. But they're also not winning lotteries, and they're not getting hit by trucks.
Hey, by the way, the same wiki I just looked at now says November 7th, 1943. I guess you could play around with wiki and change it, can't you?
Well, you know what's funny about this? I've had that kind of thing happen before, and when the person checks the date a second time...
It's changed. Unbelievable. God, you can't trust anything anymore.
Well, I had a girlfriend at one point who was November 7th, 1940, and that was what reminded me that Joni Mitchell and this woman had the same birthday. So I went and looked it up when you went to a break, and I said, well, there's November 7th. I wonder where George is looking it up. You were looking it up in one of the same places I looked it up.
Unbelievable. Greg in Topeka, Kansas, you're on with Paul Gersio. Greg, go ahead.
Yeah, first time calling a long time.
Well, thank you, Greg. Good to have you with us.
I've got a question for Paul and for you, George. This riot going on in Baltimore, and they bringing in the National Guard.
Yeah.
Does the National Guard have the right to detain the people that are causing a riot, or is that underneath the police department?
I would guess once they're called in, they can do just about anything they have to do.
I agree. I think that's exactly right, George. They become...
Do they have the authority to detain them, or do they have to have the police to go in and detain and arrest them?
I would think, Greg, that they would probably want the police to come in. But if they're just out there in their own sector, they've got the call.
Yeah. Yep.
Let's go to Jason in Farmington, Missouri now. Jason, you're up with us. Go ahead, sir.
Hi, George.
Hi, Jason.
Hi, Paul.
Hi.
Hi. You guys were talking about Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton a while ago.
Right.
And there is somebody that could challenge Hillary for the Democratic nomination. They haven't talked about him on none of the talk shows. It's all kept quiet. And that's Joe Manchin from West Virginia. He's senator, he was governor. And the thing about Joe Manchin is he would bring Reagan Democrats with him, and he would bring a lot of the Tea Party because he's pro-gun. And he's a good man. And I think Americans typically like divided government, since the Republicans have the House and the Senate, and he works across party lines. I think he would be perfect to challenge Hillary Clinton for the nomination.
Well, he might very well be. I'd have to look him up and see what the birthday information looks like in the time track. But I think the problem with Joe Manchin is I don't think he has any interest in doing it.
Paul, as we look for the next few months into this year, what do you see in your Merlin crystal ball?
Well, George still has very ill feelings about the economy.
He's probably right.
I'm not sure I agree completely with that, but it's certainly not really improving for the middle class, and there doesn't seem to be any reason for it to do that. And on top of that, there's enough, gamesmanship going on with Wall Street banks and whatnot that there's at least a chance that we may see some of an instant replay of what went on in 08 and 09. But I sort of keep my fingers crossed on that one because I think for all of the denigrating stuff that's been said about the president, I really think that was a saving moment in terms of keeping us from having the entire financial situation completely collapse. I think we were awfully close to that.
Oh, my gosh.
And between what Bush did in the last days of his presidency and what this guy did in the first days of his own, sort of saving the auto industry and a bunch of other things, I really think we just escaped the disaster. Between that and some of the people who were working for the administration who were ex or formerly involved in Wall Street stuff, that we had the right people in the right place at the right time, and it didn't end up in the 30s with the problems that we had then. So I think that there's a chance that George could be right. He has a habit of being right about things. I'll tell you, there's some stuff he's said over the years that I've scratched my head on when it turned out to be. He basically said that what he called the beige boxes, the old desktop computers, there was going to be a halt in them. Nobody was going to need the new ones because the old ones had all this storage and computing power that you didn't need to go out and buy a new one every 18 months, and that there was going to be a burst bubble in computers at that point. Nobody saw that coming except Dr. Hart, and boy, was he on the nose.
Oh, he sure
with that.
Was.
So when he says something is likely, I have a tendency to, to defer to him, especially when we're doing shows like yours, because he has a habit of being on target.
He's good. Let's go to Danielle in Cleveland, maybe our last caller. Go ahead, Danielle.
I found something remarkable. I found an old book in our library, and I was a little calendar card with a calendar for the year 1925, and I noticed it's a date for day as this year, 2015. And there was also an invitation to the Fifth Avenue Bank of New York to Mr. John Van Savoort and friends to the opening of an exhibition at the 50th anniversary of the Fifth Bank of New York, 1925.
Well, a banking birthday, Paul. We're almost out of time. That's going to be an interesting campaign, too, because Bernie Sanders is against big bankers.
Oh, I'm sure he is.
Okay. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate you popping on at such a short notice. Paul Gursio from the Merlin Project. Websites are linked up at coasttocoastam.com. Up next, John Hogue joins us with his prophecies.